It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday, the first Sunday of 2022. Time for episode 187 of the Ron and Brian podcast. Brian.
187.
My friend.
To quote the great Snoop Dogg, 187 on the undercover cop.
That's right. Oh, this is embarrassing. Sorry. Are you wearing your Wu-Tang sweater?
No.
Why are you wearing your...
No. I said I was going to wear my Wu-Tang sweater this week, and you were going to wear... This is great for the people who are listening to the audio version of this exactly. podcast, who are not really getting the full value of a visual joke.
That's right. But we still do them anyway, regardless.
First off, I would like to send a big ups, a shout out.
Ooh, silent.
Thank you to Ron and his wife. One of the best Christmas presents I got this year. In fact, the only. Thank you to Ron and Mrs. Ron for sending me this lovely sweater. Apparently, when I saw it last week, I was so in love with it that they said it's only fair that I have one also. So
you had to have it. We had to make sure you got it.
Ron, I've been wearing this sweater every day all week.
Nice. Well, in the meantime, it's a new year, but it's the same bits. It's drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Pleasure.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
First off, before I ask you what your drink of the week is, Brian, might I say that yellow is your color?
Why do you say that? Because one of our most loyal friends loves yellow. Loves right. yellow on us. Yeah. Loves yellow.
Yep, without a doubt. So kudos. But regardless, what are you drinking this week, Brian?
Still cleaning out the beer fridge. Going. This is a beer I had about 15 weeks ago. You are looking at South Island Squeeze IPL, which is a 7% ABV India Pale Lager. Look at the beautiness of this item. It's brewed with a lager malt for 6 weeks. The beer pours bright with a nice head. It has a slight and enjoyable sweetness to it throughout with a smooth lager finish.
Take a sip. If I remember, you enjoyed this beer immensely previously.
I did. There is a sweetness there.
A little sweetness, like you.
Yes. You know, it has a light cracker aroma as a base, complemented with lime, pine, rosemary, lychee, and Smarties candy. That's what I'm tasting, Smarties candy.
That's where the sugar's coming from, without a doubt.
Ron.
Yes.
What are you drinking?
Going back to the brewery we had last Sunday, Minocqua Brewing, since I had gotten a few of theirs, this week I'm going with their AOC IPA, named after the representative there in New York. This is their Do It Anyway India Pale Ale, AOC IPA, clocking in at a respectable 6.8%. I got a nice amber hue, bit of a hazy look to it. My first time trying this one. Let's give it a sip. It's as far as IPAs go, it's a little on the weaker side. I don't get the hoppiness that I normally would like. I mean, it's decent. It's drinkable. For AOC, I think they could have done better. Should have had more bite to it.
You know, I would imagine that considering, you know, your thoughts on the pandemic and responsible behavior, that you would not have chosen a beer that highlights AOC, considering her blatant hypocrisy of spending the New Year's holiday in Miami.
Unmasked
while she was outdoors having a beverage. I mean, just... the fact that she was not holed up in her home, that she went outside to Florida of all places. I mean, the double standards of these libtards where they sit there and tell you you're not allowed to leave the house, shutting down everything, but they're allowed to go down to Miami. I'm just surprised that this is the week you chose to sow support for our communist representative from our delegation here in New York.
I have to say this does taste like the kind of beer that a white man wearing Crocs would drink, just like AOC's boyfriend. So maybe that's why it has the flavor profile that it does.
I did like the slam that she threw out there of like, why are you guys obsessed with my boyfriend's footwear, you creeps? I thought that was great. I thought
she also just assumes everybody on the right wants to bang her as well.
It is odd that they have singled her out, right, to really focus all their hate on. I find that a little surprising.
Speaking of hate, we are actually retiring a bit this year on the Ron and Brian podcast. We rarely do this. We do nothing if not beat things into the ground, into obliteration, beat a dead horse. But we are retiring this week in racism. We kept it up for a solid 3+ years. Yep. And it's just, at first it was, I think, kind of a joking thing. We had our weekly votes and racism madness, and then
sure,
got a little bit more serious after the George Floyd murder. And it just, there's a level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Depression?
Ugliness.
Every week, ugliness.
I was going to say ugliness. It got to a point where we spoke about it, you know, multiple over the pretty much the last quarter, almost on a weekly basis about it. But it got to a point where I really felt that it was no longer in line with what we were trying to do with this show, in the sense of we're trying to portray current events with a lighthearted spin. And as the weeks kept going on, it became more and more obvious to me that it felt like it was an unnecessary knee punch of ugliness, of just sadness, of things that made you really angry about the maybe that's the show that we could be doing, where we are more serious, where we are more reflective of what's going on in society. We may bring it back. We'll see. If there's a
racism story that merits being in the news, we may cover that individually. But
sure,
it will no longer be a segment moving forward. So you can always, of course, send your comments over to our producer, Matt, positive or negative.
Sure.
In the meantime, we're keeping a bit that you guys voted on for us to keep years ago. We're going to keep it going. It's Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
I've got two things.
Okay.
Two things. One very petty, one slightly less petty.
All right, let's hear it.
Neither of which is really the thing bothering me this week, but I will not be discussing that. What's the first one is the kind people at Zendesk who somehow infiltrated my Chrome browser to the point where every three websites that I opened up, I got a small blue pop-up in the lower right-hand corner asking me to open up a chat with Zendesk.
Hmm.
I've never used Zendesk.
No.
I am using a MacBook Pro. There's no reason for me to have some type of virus or whatnot.
Lord knows I'm on the websites that do give you the viruses enough.
So I had to delete all my cookies, clear all my internet history,
which is not necessarily a bad idea.
And so far I haven't been getting it today. So
all right, good.
That was my first. It had been building up as an annoyance over the week. My real beef of the week this week is the Times Square New Year's Eve ball drop.
Not like the ball drop I had when I was 12. Hi-yo.
I'm talking about the ball drop that takes place in Times Square every New Year's Eve. the fact that this year with Omicron raging in New York, that we would have a super spreader event sanctioned by our city government with a 20% positivity rate this week, cases, record cases of COVID, that outgoing Mayor de Blasio, along with whatever agencies he's working with, would sit there and say, yes, let's allow people to congregate in small, dense places, despite what we know about how this variant is currently working and raging across society, could not have been more tone deaf from a city that struggled so terribly. We struggled so terribly during the first wave of COVID back in March 2020. Do we all remember, you know, the refrigerated trucks used to store bodies because the morgues were so full? Do we not remember the forklifts that were being used to carry out corpses from hospitals as the dead, the death toll kept rising? And the fact that de Blasio would be like, no, people should be able to amass on 47th and Broadway so we can watch the ball drop. It was shocking to me that they allowed that to go on. And then to watch the poor people who are talking about how they've been standing there for 5 hours, it was just really just set me off into a bad mood.
Fair enough. I think that's a valid beef. Both of those are valid. I'll give you that much.
Ron?
Yes.
What's bugging you?
So similarly enough, New Year's Eve entertainment is my beef. A man of my age, it's a struggle to stay up till midnight as it is. So I was looking at the various TV shows. There was, of course, the Dix Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve there in Times Square.
Didn't he die?
He did die, I think, but it's still named after him. I think Ryan Seacrest did it. They had on NBC, they had Miley Cyrus had her own New Year's Eve party with Pete Davidson.
Sure.
Had CNN with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen. Just garbage on each and every channel. Just horrible. Like, I don't expect like high levels of entertainment, but when you can succeed in making like both like Pete Davidson unfunny and Miley Cyrus not sound good, it was just I ended up calling it a night early. I did not make it to midnight this year.
May I ask what time you went to bed?
It was about 20 of 12. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay up.
You made it very close. I was asleep before 11 and then woke up in an anxiety riddled panic at 2:50 and was awake for several hours.
Sounds exciting.
But this isn't about me, Ron. This is about you just quitting 20 minutes before.
I did. But I feel okay with myself. I feel proud.
Question. Were you alone? Did Mrs. Ron stay awake for the ball drop, or was she?
Yeah, no, she was asleep by 10. Okay. Easily.
Also very late for her.
Well, yes, for her, very late, very late. But as we mentioned, it is the beginning of the year, Brian. And as is tradition here on the Ron and Brian podcast, we have predictions both that we review our previous year's predictions and give you predictions for the coming year.
Ron and Brian predictions.
I like when I remember to hold on to the sound effects from year to year, because then I don't need to recreate the wheel. So, Brian, should we review our 2021 predictions and see if we were correct or not correct with some of these predictions?
I think you should. I think you go first. You read one, then I'll read one, and we'll go back and forth.
All right. So my first one was, after finishing his term as vice president, Mike Pence will start a new career as a drag queen under the name Mother Bones. I don't know if that's one we can prove or disprove at this point.
Do we know of a drag queen named Mother Bones?
I mean, there are quite a few out there, actually, but it's tough to say if any of them are actually Mike Pence. I'm calling that a push, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right. What did you have there?
I said the stock market ends the year higher. All three major indexes came up higher. S&P somewhere in the 30%. So I'm going to say yes to that one.
All right. My second prediction was Brian will file for bankruptcy after buying everything in the Fleshlight catalog. That ended up being wrong. If I remember, you did some refinancing right at the end of the year to spread out that Fleshlight debt over a number of years.
I don't believe I bought anything from Fleshlight this year.
If that's what you want to say, go ahead. What's your next prediction that you gave?
No, I am going to say that because that's the truth.
All right, fair enough.
Joe Biden has a significant health scare, but does not resign. Now, as far as I know, there has been no significant health scare. I know there's been talk of his.
Sorry. Did I interrupt you with the wrong answer, Buzz? All right. The next one I had was the New York Yankees will win the 2021 World Series.
I had that the Federal Trade Commission starts proceedings to break up Amazon.
Joe Biden will attempt to postpone his virtual inauguration when he is unable to remember his AOL password.
I said that we will end the year with more than 20 Patreon subscribers. I would like to take credit and say that is a yes, though when we were reviewing our notes before the show, you said to me that our Patreon subscriber count is confidential. Therefore, you overruled and said that I cannot take credit for this and that that one is a push.
Exactly.
Predictions.
Let's see. I said with the successful rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, the far right will hold a national conference to determine other ways they can be inconsiderate to their fellow Americans while causing mass fatalities. I'm going to say the fact that Turning Point USA had Kyle Rittenhouse attending makes that a yes.
I'll give you credit for that one. Thanks. I said that I will marry my Fleshlight in a ceremony held during an after dark. Did not take place. No.
Nope. Not this year. Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk will battle for the title of richest person on the planet, but they will do so by having their underpaid, underinsured workers battle to the death. Again, I'm going to have to score that as wrong. But I
think you may take that one correct. I mean, there were Amazon workers that died during the tornadoes.
True.
And we know for a fact that the Tesla factories in California and now in Texas have had multiple rounds of coronavirus outbreaks. I imagine somebody in that group has died. I'm going to give you a yes on that one.
All right. Thank you.
I think that's only fair. That is correct. I said that the Seattle Storm will repeat as WNBA champions. And we all know that it's incorrect. The Chicago Sky won this year.
I thought you had that one. I thought that one was a good one.
So did I.
Let's see here. Billy will continue to roast Ron and Brian on a weekly basis. Daddy pretty much did.
Yeah, that's kind of hurtful.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's okay. We can take it.
Okay. I said that Ron will divorce his wife and embrace the furry lifestyle.
That's one that you keep going with, but not correct yet again. All right, my next one was Brian will continue to not watch either Brockmire or Kingdom. That one. Nailed that. For the entire year, I don't think you watched a single episode of either.
I don't even know what Kingdom is.
Clairvoyant AF.
All right, Brian, what was your next 2021 prediction?
I just know Janelle seething right now. I didn't watch one episode of Brockmire all year. Fuck, that's good. Elon Musk ends the year as the world's wealthiest man. That is correct. Net worth currently $278 billion. Jeff Bezos in second place with $202 billion.
All right. Ron will remain employed the entire year, forcing Brian to think of new ways to insult him.
Solid.
Yeah.
That is solid. The U.S. will rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. That is yes. They did it on February 19th, 2021.
All right. My final 2021 prediction was millions of Americans will discover that true happiness only comes from joining the Ron and Brian Patreon to get access to the weekly After Dark. As you discussed, we can't really discuss Patreon numbers So that is a push. Brian, what was your final 2021 prediction?
I went out on a limb here. I said that Adama Barrow will win re-election in the 2021 Gambian presidential election. Yes, in fact, he did. Adama Barrow won 52.23% of the popular vote. Usano Darbo came in second with only 27.72. I started off weak, finished out with 4 out of 10 predictions correct. Ron, you have yet to accept your furry lifestyle needs.
My apologies. And I think I came in with about, 5 out of 10. So not too bad. Just I'm hoping for better for 2022. So here we dive into our 2022 predictions. Brian, what is your first prediction for the year 2022?
The stock market ends the year lower.
Really? You are predicting a drop in the stock market from this?
Yes.
Time. All right.
Yes.
All right.
Right.
Let's see. What did I come up with here? Brian will shock the wrestling world by winning the AEW World Championship this Wednesday night in Newark as it switches to TBS. That's AEW Dynamite this Wednesday night. Ron and Brian. Hashtag.
Two. Complete. William Esquire, please reach out to friend of the show, Tony Khan. See if we can get front row again. Second prediction is that there will be two more substantial COVID-19 variants after Omicron.
Gaze into our crystal balls.
All right. My second prediction, Americans that lose loved ones to mass shootings during the year will receive an overflow of thoughts and prayers, but no meaningful actions or legislation.
That's not fair. You know you're going to be right on that one.
That's kind of an easy one, but yes.
Fucker, how dare you? I have that Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz will resign in disgrace.
Interesting. I have one, but that comes up a little bit later. I have one about him. Really? Let's see. Brian will go to a strip club and spend no money hoping to put the $900 story permanently to rest.
Bastard. Ghislaine Maxwell will be alive on December 31st, 2022.
Ron and Brian, mediums in predictions, extra large in the pants.
All right, my next prediction. Spring will bring us the Lambda variant of the coronavirus. Current vaccines will be ineffective in fighting it. The only people immune from it are those lucky enough to get a blood sample from either David Carradine or Anthony Edwards.
Jesus, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I've got that Andrew H. will be the winner of the Ron and Brian Podcast 2022 Death Pool. William Esquire will be a close second.
I feel that's a given, but all right. Matt Gaetz will announce his candidacy for the nation's highest office, forming a partnership with Josh Duggar that they call a pedophile presidential super ticket with the campaign slogan, Make America Underage Again.
Wow. Ron will divorce his wife and embrace the furry lifestyle.
All right. The New York Yankees will win the 2022 World Series.
The Green Bay Packers will win the 2022 Super Bowl.
All seeing, all knowing.
Johnson & Johnson will admit that they never really came up with a COVID vaccine. They just filled a bunch of vials with watered-down baby shampoo.
You know what? Okay, this is a little diversion. Friends of the show, people that know me know that I do HR. We recently in New York City had a COVID vaccine mandate for all private employers, where employees are now required in working in New York City to provide COVID vaccination documentation. And the look of how do I describe this, of just shock and disappointment that I have on my face when someone presents me with a COVID vaccination card that says Johnson & Johnson. It's wild. It's just wild. How could you possibly still go out and get Johnson & Johnson at this point? I have that the Republicans will take control of the Senate, not the House, during the midterm elections.
All right. My next prediction. The CDC will announce that testing is no longer needed for COVID-19. Instead, they suggest that if you feel sick, just spit into a friend or family member's mouth and see how it plays out.
That's mean. Roe v. Wade will be overturned by the Supreme Court.
Brian will marry his fleshlight in a ceremony that many will call the wedding of the decade.
Predictions.
Russia will send its military into the Ukraine, resulting in a short operation before pulling back behind its borders.
Was that your final one? Was that number 10 for you?
That was number 10.
All right. My number 10 final prediction for 2022, with Ron and Brian not pointing out racism each week, people will forget it exists and it will just disappear. So we'll do what we thought couldn't be done. We will get rid of racism.
Hey, listen, basically this, we're using the Donald Trump method of COVID pandemic planning, which is just, if we don't talk about racism anymore, there won't be any racism. We don't do any testing. There are no positive cases. So
now you see where I'm going with this. Now you see the knowledge that I'm trying to bring to the people.
Absolutely.
Well, so those are predictions. Brian, I think yours, I think you might have an edge. I think there's a lot in your predictions that may happen. But I also feel that I have some that the Getz Duggar super ticket, I feel is something that's really going to grow legs and run. Not within 500 feet of a elementary school or a daycare center. It won't be allowed there, but that ticket will run everywhere else.
Well, you know that it will be growing legs, but it will not be growing any pubes because they're too young. They're just too young.
Also will not have the receptors. Too young for that.
Have we given up on the argument that kids don't have the receptors? We should check out with our chief medical expert on the show.
We should. We'll have to get her on the horn at some point and see how the science is running on that. Another annual tradition that came to a close and yet a start again, is the Ron and Brian death pool. And much like death and taxes, Andrew H showed that he is the same each and every year, coming in with a win again in the 2021 death pool. And we've got him here live on the Ron and Brian podcast to talk about this huge win. Welcome once again, Andrew.
The winner.
Gentlemen, thank you.
No.
And thank you for...
Thank you, first off, for gracing us with the presence of excellence. I can't speak in more honest terms. For the second year in a row, I put all my time and effort into cultivating a list of 20 celebrities that I felt so sure would pass away. I looked at the list, I reviewed the list, I edited the list, I culled the list, I expanded, culled again. Somehow, 2 years in a row, you have been able to make it look easy.
Well, I'm glad at this point in my life that I have found my natural gift is just predicting death.
It is uncanny. I mean, if we can pull up your 20... Now, first off, as loyal watchers of the show will remember, Andrew was on this show exactly a year ago celebrating his victory in the 2020 death pool during
an
unexpected pandemic. This man was able... going into 2021... people knew there was a pandemic. So we were all looking at people with underlying health issues. But no, one person did not. And that person is right now, if you're watching this on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, you are looking at a man who just has no fear of going into a pandemic and picking winners.
Although a little different path this year. Last year was more of kind of a wire to wire win. This time he was always kind of hanging around in the top three, but it wasn't till this final week of the year when he hit with both Desmond Tutu and John Madden to leapfrog William Esquire and myself into the first place, picking five total deaths for 79 points.
This last week, I just had a lot of like dark magic going on. I needed to pull ahead. Even as much as I wanted a Ron and Brian Show podcast swag bag, First place is a little nicer.
Well, let's go over some of the deaths. Walk me through what were you thinking going into 2021 when you picked Desmond Tutu?
Age, illness, not going to last long.
Skin color?
Not so much.
Okay. Hank Aaron, the home run champion. What were you thinking when you picked Hank Aaron?
There's a theme there now.
I'm not saying there's not, but what about Leon Spinks?
I'm avoiding that theme and focusing on my athletes.
The only theme here is that athletes. These are people who died this year. You also came in with John Madden, as mentioned earlier, and the lovable Tommy Lasorda. How do you sit there with a smile on your face knowing that you celebrated the death of Tommy Lasorda?
I think that was my first victory of the year, Tommy Lasorda.
That was the first one. Although Leon Spinks was your biggest point getter. I mean, that was a big one.
That was the big points, but Tommy Lasorda actually helped me celebrate this year.
Understood.
Get it out of the way, knock it out, celebrate, and I'm embracing death at this point.
Now, of your other picks where you did not score any points, meaning people survived, were there any on that list that really surprised you?
The criminals. How are the criminals still alive?
Harvey Weinstein, Joe Cosby. Namath. Rick Flair. When the story of the WWE plane ride from hell came out, I was sure you were going to score points off of Ric Flair. I thought he was a goner, that Vince would pull a Hillary and make Rick just disappear. Still walking, still around. Andrew, if you can walk us through some of your 2022 picks, because I noticed that you came back this year to just continue your world domination. Who are you really liking on this?
You got to go with Steve Mongo McMichael, ALS.
I have to say, that was one name when I saw that. It pained me because I remember seeing the news story on Steve McMichael and how horrible he looks and thinking, how did I forget to put Mongo in my own death pool? That
I was hoping he was going to make it this year.
That's your Leon Spinks of 2022.
Who's Steve McMichael? My only fear
was he wasn't going to make it to my list this year.
Steve McMichael, former Chicago Bear, former pro wrestler, former member of the Four Horsemen, and now suffering from ALS.
God damn it, future member
of my death pool list.
Oh, some great Tim Curry. Oh, how did I not see him? You are like a savant on this, Andrew. A savant.
Tim Curry is very popular this year. We've got four people that picked Tim Curry. Meanwhile, you were the only one to pick Ric Flair last year. Now we've got three people picking Ric Flair for 2022. But damn, that Michael pick just...
What's the logic on Cher?
My logic this year was who's not around anymore, who's up in age. If they're not working, they're close to dying.
Very logical. I like that. Yeah. Now, as winner of 2021, you are the recipient of a 150-unit Venmo transaction. We're not doing, you know, there's no money that's trading hands. Otherwise, Uncle Sam's going to want his cut. And we know that there's no money being transferred here. So therefore, your 150 units of Ron Bucks that you'll be receiving, how do you see yourself spending them?
I see a nice nifty Wu-Tang Clan sweater in my future.
Look at this beautiful tiger style. If what you beautiful. Say is true, the Wu-Tang
beautiful and glorious
can be dangerous.
And since I did miss out on the Ron and Brian swag, I think I need to order plenty of Ron and Brian swag.
Need to hit up the web store.
Just get there a coffee mug.
Can I also say three picks that were, I think, are also well played in your death pool? John Ratzenberger from Cheers. Random pick, but to your point, out of the public eye all these years. And I didn't realize how old he was. He was born in 47. Lily Tomlin, great pick. And Nick Nolte, too. I mean, the fact that I had to check to make sure Nick Nolte was still alive. So,
like, where are these guys?
And Pele. Who's even, like, totally not on the radar. I mean, like, this is the genius of your entries, is that you have so many where it's just off the radar people, where if they fall, you're the only person getting points.
That's it. My mind works. I think of somebody, be like, are they dead yet? If not, there's a note on my phone.
Now, how has your family celebrated your victory? Was there a parade in your honor? Did your wife make prime rib? How has the family honored you?
It was very low key this year. I think they're a little freaked out with me walking around with a black cloak, just wandering the house.
Understood.
Like, you ever they just point at someone and go, "You're next." Like, just come out.
Excuse me, sir.
They also don't like to heap the praise on me.
Understood. Sir, how do you spell your last name? I just want to write it down for my list.
My phone.
Yeah, the thing, Andrew, it's about keeping humble. Gotta keep humble. Speaking of humble, heaven forbid if these variants ever differ, I would love to see you again if sooner than 2022 Atlantic City Beer Fest.
Absolutely. That's my second favorite annual tradition, this being my first.
Hopefully I'll be able to walk that weekend.
We'll make it the whole way.
Andrew, thank you for coming on. We love you. It's an honor.
We look forward to watching your progress this year.
Thank you, gents, and thank you for not canceling my segment this year.
We would never do that. We look forward to having you back in a year.
Always. Thank you. See you in a year.
Talk to you next year.
A champion. A champion.
Without a doubt. I mean, I was, you know, again, I was in first place for a while. It's time. Oh, don't know why I hit that one. And I thought I could ride it out. I knew I couldn't win first place and win the money prize. I just wanted to win for pride.
Yeah.
But solid performance. He's got some competition this year. We've got a new young upstart challenger, Max M, who's got some picks out there. Bill Murray, which you would hate to see, but
no,
you haven't seen him in a while. choking on myself. John Mulaney.
Ooh, he just became a father. No,
he just became a father, but he's out of rehab. He's had a rough time of it. Like, that could be a big point. Accidental overdose.
I thought I read that he and Olivia Munn have already broken up. Is that true or no?
So. I don't know. I believe so. This other one, going off of Max's list, Ray Liotta.
Oh, he looked terrible in the Many Saints of Newark.
And the only person to pick Joe Exotic, who is in prison dealing with cancer. So I think, again, Andrew, you have to make the odds on favorite. I looked at the line beforehand. I believe Vegas has him at a 3-5 odds.
Yeah.
but I think Max... could be the young upstart that I'll be rooting for in the coming year.
Not to make this about me, but I only got one right all year, which is just so pathetic.
And you got so Rush Limbaugh, which I don't want to say Rush Limbaugh was low-hanging fruit, but a lot of people picked Rush last year.
Oh, last year, that was the obvious. That's the very definition of low-hanging fruit.
Like five people picked Rush.
My approach this year, and I don't mind telling you as we've already made all of our entries, I went for a lot of people that were, I'm going this year with numbers. I'm going to hit a lot of people. So yeah. I didn't put a lot of young people. I didn't put a lot of people in their 30s or 20s. No. I packed my list with 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds. I'm going to hit a whole bunch of them that will launch me into the lead.
First place, baby. People you went with was Shannon Doherty, which a few people kept on their list, and Tekashi 6ix9ine, which you were still rolling the dice on that. Billy, with a good question, what are the odds for Brian being in the top five? Vegas currently has that at 250-1. And he's only that good because there's only 9 people this year.
Son of a bitch.
So we'll see. I hope you get 2 this year, my friend. I hope you get to be right this year.
Thank you.
All right, what else do we have?
Listen, if we're talking about deaths, we're talking about celebrity deaths. I think we have to talk about the moment that rocked Hollywood this past week, and that was the passing of Betty White at the tender age of 99 in Hollywood. Ron, tell us, how did Betty White affect you?
You know what? I think we all know Golden Girls, one of my favorite TV shows of all times. She was just a constant in Hollywood. Just interesting that they had already started to advertise her 100th birthday in the next edition of People magazine. There's going to be a documentary that was going to come out on her birthday on January 17th. And then surprisingly, because we hadn't heard that she was ill, passing away the other morning at the age of 99.
Now, have they said what she passed of?
I have not seen it yet. And we only had two monsters in our death pool that picked her.
No, somebody actually picked Betty White?
Two people did.
Why would you do that for one point?
It's ridiculous.
That is actually the definition of a monster. Somebody who wants to root for Betty White to die, knowing that they're only going to get a point.
So as we talked about previously, John Madden, NFL Hall of Fame coach, broadcasting icon, video game legend, passing away at the age of 85. Not the only NFL person we lost. Dan Reeves, former coach of the Broncos and player, he passed away at the age of 77. Former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, he passed away at the age of 82.
The judge from Night Court?
No, that was Harry Anderson. This was Harry Reid from the Senate. Jamie Osorio Marquez, creator of HBO's 1,000 Fangs, he died of assisted suicide at the age of 46. Apparently, he was dying of cancer.
Wait a second. You could do assisted suicide, but you have to be dying?
Well, he was. This was in Sweden, I believe. He was overseas, where it is legal.
You know me. I don't like flying over the ocean. It's not my thing.
Richard Marcinko, the first commanding officer of SEAL Team 6.
Marcinko, clearly you are not a dedicated reader of the Rogue Warrior series.
So
can you stop talking for a moment? I was such a fan of the Rogue Warrior series. So this is the guy who basically has taken credit for creating SEAL Team 6. Now, a lot of people were thinking that means that there were already five SEAL teams. No, they created SEAL Team 6 to make the Russians think that we had more Navy SEALs than we actually did. Basically, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was very true. One of us read the obituary. But he wrote a series of books, he had written a series of books under his nomenclature. Why is Siri asking me if I can sit under his Norman Cloud co-chair? Why is Siri asking me if I can sit under his Norman Cloud co-chair? And it's just repeating. Oh, really? No, sorry.
What's going on over there?
Oh, not sure. Anywho, but the books were all about counterterrorism. It was a lot of stories of SEALs going into the Middle East and China and whatnot to take out some bad guys. Started out as a really great, fun series. The books were well written. And then as the series kept going, he started to get a little into too much detail about the type of weapons he was carrying. So he would sit there, he'd be like, on my right hip was my SAG Bauer 451 with 84 cartridges. It started to feel like it was an advertisement for the weapons industry, which is when I stopped reading him. Completely forgot about it. Apparently, he just died this past week. American Hero, Richard Marcinko.
Also, filmmaker of Dallas Buyers Club and Big Little Lies, Jean-Marc Vallée, passing away of heart attack at the age of 58. And also, just coming in earlier today, Max Julian, best known for his iconic role as Goldie in the 1973 blaxploitation film The Mac, passing away at the age of 88. No, you don't know about the Mac?
I did not see the Mac. No.
All right.
I once had a Big Mac.
Since we are talking about deaths, I guess it probably also then makes sense to do our first dead anti-vaxxer of 2022.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Brian, who do you bring this first Sunday of 2022 as your dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
I bring you Mike Santa Claus Anderson. Ron, do we have a photo of Mike Anderson? Holy cow. What is that? Ladies and gentlemen, you are looking at 68-year-old Mike Anderson from Lafayette, Georgia. He obviously clearly enjoyed cosplaying Santa Claus with his wife, Mrs. Anderson. He was a staunch conservative and anti-vaxxer. Very popular over the past year on social media, bashing Dr. Fauci, bashing vaccinations, bashing mandates. Unfortunately, on August 13th, he posted that he started feeling rough yesterday, just tested positive for the Chinese virus. Keep in mind, August 13th, 2021, and this douchebag is posting about the Chinese virus. Absolutely lunacy. Came back later on that evening and posted on his Facebook page, "It seems if you get the Chinese virus and they prescribe ivermectin, good luck finding it." That's because he's in Georgia, where people are filling themselves up with horse dewormer. Anywho, he passed away a couple months ago. And fuck him. He's dead.
All right. There you go. Well, that is quite the, I didn't expect Santa Claus to be an anti-vaxxer, but I bring to you, Brian, a gentleman by the name of Mike Homer. I believe we've got a photo of him.
Homer Simpson.
Matt, if you can get that up on the screen there. Lovely couple we have here. Mike and his traveling companion, his girlfriend. And the reason that she is in the photo with him is because she passed away from COVID back on November 22nd. That's Vicki Hammond. All during this pandemic, Mike Homer has been very vocal about being an anti-vaxxer, anti-masker, posting a lot of social media posts about it. So anyway, Vicki passes away at the end of November. He continues to post anti-vax and anti-mask propaganda, while also alternatingly posting about how he misses Vicki so much that she died of COVID. His posts change a bit because he is in the hospital talking about how he's having a hard time breathing. A couple weeks later, he says, "Yeah, you know, maybe I need to consider getting the vaccine because my lungs aren't really working." And well, he dies. So does not learn when someone close to him passes away from COVID. And he himself has now died of COVID. So there you have it. Our very first dead anti-vaxxers of the week for 2022.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
That's fucking sad. That's just sad.
Than the people that don't want to get vaccinated, Brian. What are you watching?
Ooh. What have I been watching? For those of you that know me, that have been following what's going on in my life, I have been in a COVID-issued quarantine in isolation since Sunday, December 26th. I have been following the CDC guidelines, so I've been inside. I've pretty much watched just about everything. Where would you like to start, Ron? Do we want to talk about Narcos, Mexico, season 3? Loved it. Absolutely. Okay. Watch it. Do we want to talk Big Mouth, season 3? Tired. Joke's over with. Don't need to watch it. Do we want to talk about the Bob Epstein documentary?
How is that? HBO? I forgot to watch that. How is it?
I'm going to say this.
Some of you may know him.
Super Dave Osborne, Marty Funkhauser on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm going to say this to you, and I mean this as one of the ultimate compliments of a form of entertainment. They packed more in 1 hour and 15 minutes that it felt like a two-hour documentary. It is very fast-paced. There is so much going on. There are so many different interviews and clips. It could not have been. I absolutely fucking loved it. And it felt like I had been watching it for almost 2 hours. I looked up, only an hour and 5 minutes had passed. Apparently he was Albert Brooks's brother, grew up in Beverly Hills, California, in a entertainment family, had a lot of good connections, was able to enter Hollywood in the 1960s into 70s, was a writing partner of Steve Martin. Not going to give anything else away, but holy cow, did this guy have a career? And it seems as if he was a heck of a human being.
All right. I will definitely need to check that out. Also, episode one on Disney Plus of the Book of Boba Fett, kind of a offshoot of The Mandalorian that brought back the Boba Fett character. Brian, I know you watched it. Your thoughts?
I'm interested in where it's going to go, but I cannot say after one episode that it really was the kind of plot development that made you sit there and say, oh my gosh, I need to watch this.
Right. I think it definitely is. I agree with you. I liked it. I think it still needs some time to grow. I definitely think it's one of those. I know they like Disney likes releasing this stuff a week at a time. I feel like it's a series that would have benefited from them releasing like maybe the first three episodes at once to let people go through it and see what they feel about it.
But the difference is the fact that they did that with The Mandalorian, where they put out one episode and it was enough.
Right.
Enough had happened in that one episode that you sat there and said, all right, I'm hooked. This is going to be good. You don't feel that way after Boba Fett episode one. I'm not saying that the season is not going to be good, but this episode did not grab your attention. Ron, what else did you watch?
Cobra Kai season four
came out on Friday,
December 31st. I've gotten through all 10 episodes. Brian, I believe you did
all 10
as well. Your thoughts on season four of Cobra Kai?
I wish I had never watched that, gotten into that show. Unfortunately, I put enough time in that I'm just going to keep watching it. But holy crap, it's not for me anymore. It's the cheese factor. It is so fucking cheesy. With its 80s references, everything is a feel good. It's just not my kind of thing.
I agree with you. I mean, it definitely, like, you know, it's not overly well written. I don't know that it's really well acted, but it sucks you in for some reason. They did. I mean, surprisingly enough, and we're going to drop some spoilers here. So if you haven't watched the show, you know, listen sparingly. But they didn't. I don't think they played it safe in some ways. So
no, they took some chances. Took some this risks.
So there were. What was one of those ones that you pointed out to me that you thought was pretty shocking?
Okay, this is the one. The first moment where I thought that they really had gone off into left field was when they had Marv Albert bite one of the female karate students during the All Valley tournament when she refused to have a three-way with him and another man. I thought that was in very poor taste.
What I found, what maybe was the most shocking, and I don't remember if this was episode 8 or 9 that this reveal came out, when they did the flashback that showed that Mr. Miyagi used to run with Bill Cosby, and the reason that, like, Danny LaRusso was shit at karate, but correct, Mr. Miyagi was drugging his opponents with pills that Bill Cosby gave him. And it made Karate Kid the movie make sense, because the only way that Johnny Lawrence falls for that crane kick is if he's hepped up on goofballs. And you see that in the flashback. Just amazing.
Well, I mean, speaking of things that I feel like it just felt like it was somewhat out of place was the Pat Morita hologram teaching the Miyagi-Do students the crane kick. I think it was in episode 6 that I felt, I mean, it felt like they just blew the budget on the Pat Morita hologram when they, clearly reusing some graphics from the previous movies. It just didn't feel like it was part of the show.
Right. The other part, and I kind of popped at this. You thought it was kind of fan service, but you know, they've talked about Miguel and his father and not really knowing who his father was. And then you find out in episode 10 that his father was Gus Fring, which connects the Cobra Kai universe with the Breaking Bad universe. And I'm really excited to see where that goes. And I know you weren't as excited as I was, but that really, I was excited to see that.
Okay. I have a couple more on my list. I'm going to tell you something. I'm done. I'm tapping out.
I forgot to say during the Boba Fett show. So it is amazing to me because it feels like the production value for Boba Fett, at least in this first episode, that they're not putting the money into it that they did in The Mandalorian. Because the scene where... where Boba Fett fights the sand monster.
Yes.
The sand monster looked like the alien that Captain Kirk fought on Star Trek back in like the 60s.
Sure.
Like it looked like a very cheap costume compared to some of the CGI that they utilized in The Mandalorian. So I'm going
to... Getting back to Boba Fett, did you... I'm sure you've seen it online. People have been mentioning it a lot. Did you ever see the Patton Oswalt Parks and Recreation, where he talks about combining the two universes?
Oh, yeah. Genius.
Literally, the way he describes the start of his mashup of the worlds is exactly how they show Boba Fett coming out of the Sarlacc pit. Now, keep in mind, people, watching that scene, I had no idea what was the Sarlacc pit. I didn't even get the reference. It just went over my head. I saw him put his hand up out of sand and walk away. That's all I noticed while watching this. Then when reading the reviews of it, I realized that what they were talking about was during the Return of the Jedi.
Sure.
Empire Strikes Back. Which scene was that movie?
Empire Strikes Back, I think. Or was it Return of the Jedi?
No, I thought it was a return because wasn't Han Solo in the Carbonite?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're probably right.
Anywho, but anyway, they show Boba Fett going into the sand and everyone's like, oh, how's Boba Fett going to be alive? Well, literally, Patton Oswalt called it about 10 years ago in Parks and Rec. Yes.
All right. Well, Brian... congratulations on getting the Star Wars movie correct, but also congratulations on another perfect week. I mean, let's review your picks from last week. Sure. You picked Philadelphia -2.5 versus Washington.
Easy.
Eagles had to rally, but they did. They won 20-16. And
won
then
by four.
The LA Chargers -6 against Denver. That one wasn't even close. Chargers 34-13. 34 now. I'm speechless. Absolutely.
That's not true. You're bullshitting me because you're also sitting on a 34-0 record through week 17. Ron, you went 2-0 this week also. Chiefs laying 4 against the Bengals, and you said, listen, the Chiefs can't win every week. This is the week for Cincinnati. They're going to win their playoff spot. Bengals 34-31. Colts 8.5 points over the Las Vegas Raiders. You sat there and said, give me the Raiders. Al Davis every week, all week, every year, every year. Raiders 23-20. Rod, who do you got in week 18, the last week of the NFL season?
This is an extra week. Normally we stop. We stop at 34-0 because there's only been 17 weeks. Now we get an additional week. It's more pressure to finish perfect. These are my games. Arizona -5 against Seattle and LA Rams -6 against the San Francisco 49ers. Brian, who do you like next weekend?
Colts -9.5 over the Jaguars. Ravens -6 over the Steelers. Vegas, you've been warned.
One thing I don't think either of us could have predicted was Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Antonio Brown literally quitting In the third quarter of today's game against the Jets, Tampa Bay was down at that point, 24 to 10 at that point. Antonio Brown got upset over something, took off his uniform, threw his shirt into the crowd, left the stadium. There was actually people photographing him waiting for a ride afterwards. And then Tampa Bay actually came back to win the game. But the coach of Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians, saying Antonio Brown no longer part of the team anymore.
I don't know Antonio Brown. I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on in his mind, but he certainly is not playing along. He's got himself a playoff run team. They won the Super Bowl last year. Theoretically, they could go deep again. Not sure why he wants to self-destruct 2 weeks away from playoff season. Playoffs. I'm sure he will give a speech.
And he had an incentive-laden contract. Listen to the money that he is giving up. He needed 8 more catches to unlock a $333,333 bonus. He needed 55 receiving yards to unlock another $333,333 bonus. And he also needed 1 receiving touchdown to unlock another $333,333 bonus. So just right off the bat, forget the salary that he was being paid. Those were very achievable numbers for the remainder of the season, costing him $1 million in incentives as well.
I hope he's okay. I hope he's
all right. Man needs help. I think there's no question about that. So yes, to your point, hopefully he does get it. Brian, I think you and I have grown to have the same kind of favorite hobby lately, and that is
masturbation.
Checking in on our local Facebook groups to see what is going on in our neighborhood. I believe you sent me your favorite one of this past week. Do you want me to pull that up for you?
Please do so. Okay. Now, I am a member, and I don't mind telling people where I live. I live in Queens, New York, and so I am a member of the Forest Hills Kew Gardens Rego Park Facebook group. One of the things that I absolutely love is to troll my local Facebook group.
I also like to troll Ron's local Facebook group, but that is something his wife does not approve of.
So earlier this week, a post popped up on my local Facebook groups page that I felt was really just a sign of the times for what has happened and become of New York City. I'm going to read it for those people that are not watching the video. Hello, group. Just wanted to share that pure act of vandalism happened to me. Shame on whoever did that. My car was locked and nothing was missing. Why? Oh, by the way, there's 2 photos showing that the driver's side window has been bashed in. So there's broken glass everywhere. Why people are so sick? Is this a thing now? Did this happen to anyone else recently? Setting aside the grammar, because I'm not going to trash somebody from grammar. I'm going to trash someone for not remembering that they live in New York City and have become so fucking soft that they don't believe that parking on a street makes them somewhat susceptible to being a car break-in victim. This shit happened all the time. I grew up in an age where people would literally roll the windows down when walking away from their car because they wanted to show that there was no reason to break the window. People would put up signs in their cars in the 80s saying, there's no star, no stereo, nothing of value. There's no need to break into it. And now we have someone who's just sitting there. My car was locked and nothing was missing. It's just, you know what? You're soft. You don't belong in New York City. GTFO. Ron, talk to me about your local Facebook group.
All right. Well, this particular one, I'm in a couple, but this particular one comes from Elkins Park Happenings. Yes.
Hold up. Yeah. What couple are you in?
Elkins Park happenings, and I'm not going to tell you the other one so you don't find that one and harass that group as well.
What? You're not going to tell me?
So this post happened.
Well, I love this one.
This one's great because it's got like the colorful background and New Year's and everything. Does anyone know where I can get corned beef and cabbage today? Hubs was bummed I didn't plan for it, as I don't care for it. Bonus if they deliver to EP Elkins Park. Now that is not what made this my favorite local Facebook post. It was the very first comment to this post where someone said, maybe Hubs should have planned for it himself, which should have gotten more likes. But that is catty level neighborhood responsiveness right there. Just made me laugh.
By the way, I love your local Facebook group. Mine is a lot more jaded. I'm not the only troll in that group. There's several other people that also bash people who post. Your group is a lot more wholesome.
Sure.
There's a lot more people who are genuine. There, you know, when people are asking how they can be of service to their neighbors, there's people with genuine answers. When people are asking for aid and assistance, people are genuinely seeming to be forthcoming with it. I absolutely love putting my asshole troll-like comments to it. Earlier this week in your local Facebook group, I don't believe I have a photo of it, or I could send it to you, but it's still too late. One of the local residents of your neighborhood posted asking if there was if anybody knew of a place where they could donate lightly worn books. And I proceeded to hit a response. You could stay with as stoic of a face as you want, my friend, but you know exactly what I'm going with this. So I decided to post that maybe they should put out a warm beverage cart and put the books, because, you know, delivery people would love a hot chocolate and a nice book. And it did not get any comments from other members of your family, and I was very disappointed.
What was the one you were commenting to someone a couple of weeks back, and they just ended it with, "I'm just not even going to respond to that," or "I'm not even going to bother." I don't.
you don't understand. Like I am such a jaded.
Someone asked if you were related to Cliff and had the same last name as you, and. Yes. And you were like, you said something on the lines of, you know, I look at him like family, but he just doesn't respond to me. And they just were like not having your sense of humor. They did not enjoy it, but I got a kick out of it.
What I love is the because of the Facebook algorithm, when they put up a post, they will put comments. They will show you the comments of people that you are friends with. So I know that if I comment on something in your local Facebook group, you and your wife will see those comments.
You will both see it without a doubt.
Now, did I ever tell you the story on, I may have, I forgot, about when I tried to join my sister's Facebook
group? Oh, yeah. Group? Yeah, you've shared that.
Very upset I got
their shit down. Well, we managed to go through all this without talking about COVID, but again, just be careful out there.
We've
got Omicron. We've got 2 million cases in a week that broke a record. LL Cool J, positive. Hugh Jackman, positive. Over 6,000 NYPD officers out sick. So it's less severe. It says it doesn't damage the lungs as much as some of the other variants do. But let's just be careful out there.
Yeah, it's this Omicron, it's out of control. There's more cases. The positivity rates are outrageous. The Northeast is getting slammed as it was a year ago, but was able to avoid during the warmer months. It seems as if on the Northeast, the people that I know, I don't know anybody that doesn't know multiple people who are either positive or at home. My heart goes out to those people who have loved ones in hospitals. It cannot be easy right now with COVID. My heart goes out to anybody that's sick and whatnot. Just be safe out there, people.
Good call from Billy. WWE wrestler Roman Reigns tested positive, was pulled from the pay-per-view yesterday. Two-time leukemia survivor. So someone with pre-existing conditions. Got to be careful.
Does he actually have that, or is that just part of his story?
No, no, he is he's a two-time cancer survivor.
And you see, how is a wrestling fan, how do you know when to believe something and when not to believe it?
I think cancer is not something they're going to write into a storyline.
We're just talking Vince McMahon. We're talking Vince McMahon. He's the same man who just said to his organization, by the way, we're not going to be doing any testing anymore. Just go out and wrestle. If you get sick, you get sick. So I don't know how you think that same organization is going to sit there and be like, oh, cancer. No. We're not going to. We got to respect that one. No.
So just remember, though, AEW wrestling this Wednesday night in Newark. Ron will be there. Possibly Brian. We have to check our quarantine restrictions and figure that out.
I do.
If you want more of Ron and Brian, you become a Patreon subscriber. You go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. In the upper right-hand corner of the homepage, it says become a patron. You click on that. If you join at the bronze level or higher, which is $10 or more, you get access to the Live After Dark, which starts at 9:30. Kind of the bawdier, sexier stories that we don't do. Some of the conversations that may be too radical for the pre-podcast. We will cover all that on the After Dark. So we will be doing that in about 20 minutes. Brian, yeah. Is there anything additional before we close out this first show of 2022?
Not at all. I think we're good.
All right. Love you, my friend.
Love you too.
Catch you guys on After Dark. If not, we'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.